All right, everybody, welcome back to Wonder Bread Sports Talk. I know it's been a minute, and you know we're kind of taking some time here and coming back now, so hopefully you guys are tuning in again and ready for this next episode. We're going to go over some new NBA news before, you know, we get started with the season on October 21st. So officially, welcome back to Wonder Bread Sports Talk, and this is episode 4. Hope y'all enjoy. All right, fellas, it feels good to be back. Feels good to be making another podcast out here. I hope y'all are ready for this new NBA season coming through. Hope y'all are tuning into some of the preseason games, even though, you know, your favorite guys are not going to be playing that often. And you're probably, you know, just watching some role players and hoping the rookies look good that are coming in, whatever it is, Dylan Harper, Cooper Flagg, all those guys. So starting out, we just got news that LeBron James will be out for the start of the season with a, I don't even know how to say it, scatia. I don't know, something. He's going to be reevaluated in 3 to 4 weeks. So he's going to be out for a little bit. We're not going to see LeBron for a little bit. But that's all right. We can deal without him for a little, even though it's not a full season. So I'm glad it's not that, and glad we can maybe see his final season. We never know. But I also do want to touch on the thing he released, the second decision. And he basically just gave us all this hope that he was going to say, like, something crazy. He made all of us kind of, you know, stop in our tracks, like, oh, it's he announcing retirement. And then it's a commercial. Like, what? Like, you're just going to do that and it's just going to be a commercial. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. Like, you do that. Okay. We're all right. But still, gosh, you can't. It's a great marketing tactic. It's a great marketing tactic because everybody's tuning in saying, like, oh, crap, he's actually going to make a decision on his retirement and this might be his last year. But in actuality, it's just him saying he's not retiring. And his second decision is, what, a whiskey, I think it was, or something like that. I don't even know. Not a fan of that, but, you know, it's all right. He's out for 3 to 4 weeks. Maybe that's a little bit of payback for making us think he was going to be out for the season after this. So another thing going on in the NBA. The NBA returns to China after a 6-year hiatus with preseason matchups in Macau, the Nets versus Suns. So that's pretty big. You know, we're getting back to China, and China's always been big basketball fans ever since Yao played on the Rockets. So that was huge for them, and there's still a big fan base out there that we really haven't tapped into too much, but, you know, it's great to see that we're, you know, playing back there. In other news, we also got a couple guys playing in their critical contract year. Cam Thomas is going into a critical year where, you know, he's turning down extensions. He's eyeing, you know, an improvement in his play, and hopefully that will, you know, translate to maybe another team or, you know, leaving the Nets, because the Nets really haven't been in contention in a while, and I don't think MPJ is going to do anything about that. They lost Cam Johnson, who I think is better than MPJ. So I really don't think that they're going to be in contention, and I think Cam Thomas realizes that and wants to go play for someone, you know, realistic. But I think he's going to have to take a different role. He's not going to be able to take as many shots as he used to. He's going to have to kind of, you know, play like second fiddle or third fiddle to someone if he wants to win a championship, because I don't think he's going to be a number one guy. Yeah, and we also have Anthony Simons as well, who's also playing in a critical contract year. We're going to see how he plays in Boston and see, you know, if he's worth a contract extension or if he's going to be traded mid-year or if he's going to go into the offseason and find a new team and sign a huge contract, which I don't think the Celtics will let him do. I think it's either they're going to get a contract out of him and extend him because he's only 26, or he is going to, you know, get traded midseason because he's not affecting the team how they thought they would. You know, he's a prolific 20-point scorer on a bad Portland team that really wasn't in the playoffs. He was their number one option for most of the time. You know, he had Shaedon Sharpe, Scoot, who's trying to come into his own, and Denny Avdia, who's probably going to be a breakout all-star this year. But I think that team is going to look better now. But I feel like with Anthony there, they just wanted to get rid of him to kind of give Scoot and Shaden a chance to shine. And that's a huge thing that they're doing. And I think, you know, it also gives Anthony a little bit of a chance to actually play on a winning atmosphere and actually play for a team who can contend for a championship. And with the new news I have here, you know, they may be contending again. People say they were out and, you know, we weren't going to see them in the playoffs, but I think the Celtics are actually going to be, even without Jason Tatum, I think top five team in the East. The East is wide open, and Halliburton's out for the season. His injury was later, and he doesn't seem like he wants to come back this season. You got the Bucks, who are struggling. They have Kuzma. Giannis is always going to do his thing, but I don't think their team is good enough. Miles Turner coming in is going to help, but they're not going to be great. I think the big guys, the big dogs, are the Cavs and the Knicks, especially, just because the Knicks made it that far. But I really don't think the Knicks have what it takes to win a championship. They have a number one guy, and they have, you know, Mikal Bridges, and they have all these good pieces, but I feel like they're just getting older and older and less mobility. They brought in the dancing bear, Yabusele, but how much is that going to change? We'll see. They looked pretty good so far, but I just don't know. I don't know what to expect from the Knicks this season. I don't expect them to win a championship. I expect them to be good in the playoffs, but I think the Pistons are going to be better than the Knicks this year, just because of how young Cade is and how much of a jump he is due to make. I think the Pistons are really going to be good. Jalen Duren at center is going to be insane too. So we got to look out for that as well. And the Cavs, as usual, with Donovan Mitchell, you know, he's coming off that kind of rough end to the season last year with the injury in the playoffs. I think they would have beat the Pacers, you know, if he wasn't injured, but you know, we can't reverse time, and he knows that. So I think this year's going to be a revenge year for him. Garland's out for part of the year, which kind of sucks, but only the beginning. And I think Donovan Mitchell's going to be prolific, 30-point-per-game scorer in the time that he's gone. But Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, those guys are irreplaceable. Like, I think they would be great on other teams, and they are great on their own team. So I think Evan Mobley's going to make another jump this season. And we're going to see Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, you know, playing good together. I think Darius Garland still needs to figure out some of his stuff. He's shifty. He's a great shooter. He's a good passer. I think he just needs to figure out how to freaking stay healthy and how to, you know, play the right way, I guess you could say. So talking about some of the biggest news in the NBA world right now is Jason Tatum. He was just on an interview, and he has not ruled out returning this season, despite, you know, tearing his Achilles. So he's honestly raising the stakes for Boston, and he also was on an interview saying that he promises another championship in Boston, which I think is very likely. He's what, 27 now, or he's like freshly 27, or he's still 26, I forget. But he's so young. Brown's probably going to be in MVP conversations this year. Anthony, will see how he fits in. Pritchard's going to be, you know, probably close to the 20-point-per-game threshold. Derek White, probably, you know, I expect him to be the usual Derek White, maybe like 17, 6, and maybe close to 10 assists, like maybe like 8 assists, and then a steal and a block a game for sure, probably even more than that, because he's one of the best defensive guards in the league. So I think Boston's actually going to be very scary. Jaylen Brown's going to be playing first fiddle, and we're going to see how he plays, you know, looking like that. We saw him in the preseason game already, but that doesn't show too much just because defense and everything's different in the preseason. Like, nobody's full form, but he dropped 20 points, I think, like in a quarter and a half, and then just went out for the rest of the game. So, yeah, he's looking good, dude. And I think he gained a crap ton of muscle. What I was seeing, I think he gained like 20-some pounds of muscle, which is insane. So we are going to see an absolute beast of a Boston team coming in. People are going to be scared to play them. They want to play at a higher pace, is what their coach Joe Mazzulla was saying. And it looks scary if they're going to be able to play that. They have their rookie, Ugo. Ugo looks pretty good. you know, he's young. He's 19. He's younger than me and younger than probably most of you listening, which is kind of scary because the people my age are getting to the point where these guys coming into professional sports are going to be freaking younger than us, and it's a problem. It's like, gosh, where did that go? These guys are making millions, and we're over here. What are we making? Definitely not millions. Like, hey, give me some of that. Give me some of that. No. No. It would be nice, though. But it's kind of crazy to, you know, see that stuff and be like, wow, 19, and he's playing professional basketball. Wouldn't that be a dream? A dream we all had, huh? A lot of us had professional sports, and that's something that we all wanted to do. But, gosh, it sucks. But Ugo looks all right. He's young. He's got a shot on him. He's a great defensive player. I think that's the craziest part. And also, he has the second largest hand measurement other than Taco Fall at the combine, which is actually insane. Because Taco Fall is 7'6". This dude's like 6'6". Yeah, that's ridiculous. Like, what the heck is going on? All right, more crazy news. Seth Curry heading to the Warriors to join his brother, Steph. Now, this is going to be interesting. I think he got number 31. Steph's going to be 30. He tried to get 30 from him, but you know how that's going to go. Older brother treatment is, yeah, it's not going to happen. You ain't getting that number. So, you know, that's fine, but that's going to be sick to see them play. The actual Splash Bros, would no hate on Klay Thompson, but the actual brothers, the actual Curry brothers are going to be together. I think it's going to be fun to see, and I'm sad that it's getting close to the end of Steph's career. And I'm hoping to see another, like, 30-point-per-game season out of him, and hopefully no injuries, because the injuries always suck, especially when coming to Steph, because he's not going to play. He wants to get the most time out of the league that he can, and, you know, not playing to, like, fend off an injury like he did in the playoffs last year was just for longevity reasons. He doesn't want to just, like, have his career end that terrible way where you kind of just, you know, Derrick Rose, ACL, and you're just done. But I don't think he can go out that way just because of how good of a shooter he is, and he's not reliant on, you know, his ball handling all the time and his athleticism, so he would be fine. But another thing going on, Cooper Flagg, he's going off in the preseason. He's playing well. He dropped LaMelo, made LaMelo look a little dumb, you know, a little midi over him. And he's throwing dimes to AD from what I was seeing. So if you can throw oops at as a 6'9 forward, I think you're going to be pretty good. And he looks really good right now. He looks like he's going to be a superstar. I don't think this first season, I know I hated on him a little bit, but I don't think this first season is going to be incredible. I think he's going to be, you know, one or two in the Rookie of the Year race, but I do not think All-Star is in his sights. I think that's just out of, like, Wembanyama will probably be All-Star, but I do not think Cooper Flagg will. There's too many good players nowadays, and being second fiddle to AD and having to play, you know, in that system against all these good teams not in preseason, I think we'll see a difference. Now, what is this? The Thunder community gives them status as clear West favorite. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like, I think they're good. I think they're going to be good because they kept pretty much, I think they kept everyone. And we saw that Cason Wallace over the backboard push shot to beat the shot clock. That was nuts. I could not believe he did that. That was great. Like, that's probably one of the greatest shots I've seen. Luck, but definitely really, it was nuts. That was sick. But I don't think OKC is running the back this year. I think they will go far. I think Minnesota is going to be a big problem. Anthony Edwards just needs to get away from, you know, that the problem, he's not consistent in the playoffs. Anthony Edwards is this, you know, kind of flash of himself. He'll play really well and he'll knock someone out and, you know, he'll beat KD or beat LeBron and beat these juggernauts. But then he'll have like a game where he's dropping like 10 points and you're like, what is going on? Like, the other superstars are not doing this. Tatum is, we can look at Tatum, we can look at Jokic. If they have a poor game, they normally bounce back from it pretty quick. Either, like, the game, the whole game, they've just been off, they've been shooting poorly, and then they find some rhythm and get some buckets. But Anthony Edwards just seems to be, like, in his head or something going on. I don't know what it is, but whenever he gets to that point of like consistency in the playoffs, I feel like he has a problem. And I think this year we're going to see a huge improvement. And I do not think OKC will win either. I think they won't make the playoffs. That's my prediction. Well, no, they will make the playoffs. My bad. They will not make the finals. That'd be crazy if they didn't make the playoffs. But I think they will get knocked out before the finals. If they do manage to get to the finals, they're going to lose to an Eastern Conference team. That's all I'm going to say. Because I do not think they have what it takes to win another one. I think if Halliburton didn't go down, Pacers would have won that. And, you know, we would have seen a whole different narrative. We would have seen a whole different team. That team was killing them when Halliburton was out there in the start of that Game 7. I don't know. I didn't like how they played. I don't know why I have so much animosity. Sorry to Thunder fans, but the foul baiting and the fouls, the physicality. Like, I know you get away with a lot more in the playoffs, which is fine. That's how it should be, but that Lou Dort foul pissed me off. Lou Dort hurting Ja Morant, like, all these different things. I feel like I think I'm a Lou Dort hater. That's what I'm saying. He's a problem, man. I think someone needs to get him under control. He's like the next Draymond here, kind of just hurting people, and he's been doing it. He's been doing it for a while, and he hasn't got suspended yet, so I think he's going to get suspended this year. Hot take. I don't know if he will, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I think that will be very interesting to see. But yeah, I really hate Lou Dort. And if Lou Dort somehow hears this, sorry about this. I just don't like the way you foul people. I know he's probably a good person. I'm not hating on him personally. I'm just saying I did not like how he played in the playoffs, or that last season, just kind of being a little bit reckless. I know he probably didn't mean to. That's just like how he plays. Like, some people just play really reckless or really physical and they get into it. But, you know, I'm not complaining about that, but he's probably a great guy and probably cares about, you know, not injuring people. But I do think the refs need to key on some of the stuff the Thunder are doing, hand checking, all these different things. Shea pushing off a lot. He does get a lot of buckets, a lot of good buckets, but he does push off a lot. So I feel like we need to key on that a little bit, because a lot of the guys do push off, but if you're fully extending like he does and getting fouls called for him, it seems kind of counterintuitive and hard to get guys to want to, you know, guard him, and then he's just going to score well because he's a great scorer. So, but that's how a lot of guys are, you know. You don't want to foul Steph. I think Steph probably has one of the worst whistles in the league. If you go watch some of his, like, highlights, you'll see just clear fouls. Clear, like, in the landing space, hit on the arm, literally, like, tackled, and there's no foul. I think Steph plays the right way. Love to see it. That's why we love Steph. But I think Steph is just playing. He's not flopping. He's not going out there just throwing up shots and then just throwing himself around and pushing off. He's making people drop without doing that. So I think that's, I know I was going on a tangent here, but I did not, I do not think OKC will get to the finals. And I think it will be, if it goes to the conference finals, I think Anthony Edwards will knock him off. I think Minnesota might be two. San Antonio is going to be in there. Golden State's going to be in there. The Rockets are going to be in there. I think if they play, the Mavericks might be in there if Kyrie's healthy too. So we'll see about that. And then on the east side, it's just unpredictable. It's like, who's going to come out of the east other than Cavs, Knicks, Pistons? And if Jason Tatum's healthy, the Celtics. I think if Jason Tatum's healthy, the Celtics will sweep the east, which is kind of nuts to say. And if we see them win a championship, that's probably the craziest comeback story of all time. And I know most people aren't Boston fans, and most people don't care for Boston or the fans that, you know, surround Boston just because of, you know, the legacy behind Boston and, like, New York teams. You know, the fans are kind of brutal and, you know, they're pretty straightforward. They're crazy, of course, like Philly fans and New York fans. So the New York fans are, we had that instance with New York last year, hating on like the mom and the kid, the New York fans. Someone got hit with like a trash bag. I don't know what was going on with New York fans and Pacer fans. They were just going at it and not in a good way. Like, as sports fans, we shouldn't be hitting people after games just because we won, or, you know, slandering people's name and, you know, attacking children and families. Like, that's not cool. Like, you won the game, bro. Go celebrate. It's fine. They're walking off. They're not affecting anything. Like, yeah, whatever. And there's a bunch of different things like that that we see in the sports world that, you know, sometimes it gets out of hand and most of us are like, what the hell is going on? We just saw this surface everywhere and we're like, okay, what the hell? what are we doing, dude? What is going on? Are we trying to, you know, make sports look terrible or make fans look terrible? It's like most of the fans probably aren't like that. It's just some of them. And then they create the bad name. But I really do think Boston will probably have one of the best seasons ever if they manage to win the finals. That would be probably one of the best stories, one of the best comeback stories. I feel like people would just be tuning in to that. I don't care if you hate them or not. It's a miraculous story seeing Tatum, what, 4 or 5 months out, he's back on the court shooting, doing those, like, sidesteps still. I'm like, oh, my God. It doesn't even look like he got injured. But we also have to take into account he got the surgery less than 24 hours after the injury, which is unheard of. That's never happened. Like, literally never happened. So we've never seen someone recover from that with the timeline. So we're seeing that right now, and I think my prediction for Tatum to come back is probably February, March, I would think, full health. I don't think they're going to push him and make him come back early. All right, well, today's episode is going to be a little bit shorter. We're running about 21-ish minutes right now, so I'll probably touch on a couple things here and go through, you know, final three questions, random three questions at the end of every episode. We started it, I think, in the second episode, and we're going to continue that. So, all right, we got a first question here is a life question. If you could relive 1 year of your life exactly as it happened, which year would it be and why? Oh, God. Probably, gosh, maybe. I think it has to be like 2016. I know it's a life question, but I feel like that was just a peak year. NBA 2K16, 16-17 finals. I think that was just a great time. Steph and LeBron taking over. Steph looking like an absolute menace in the finals and in the playoffs. Well, I forget what year the 73-9, was it 16-17 or 15-16? It might have been 15-16, but I definitely would like to relive 2016. That would be pretty sick. Go back to, like, my kid days and enjoy, you know, being a kid, not having to worry about too much except for, like, school and different things like that. I think, you know, going back to simpler times, but as that's kind of misleading, but, you know, I'm still, you know, I think you should be in the present and live in the present. Live where your feet are. Be where your feet are. And, you know, make the best out of every situation that you're in. Second question here. What's a small habit or mindset shift that's made the biggest difference in your daily life recently? Honestly, I think for me, it's been writing down things. Writing down things that you need to do, things that, you know, you need to get done each week, and things you want to do to improve yourself, I think is the best thing. It's like, what? Look at your life this week and be like, where do I want to be in a year, or where do I want to be next week, or where do I want to be tomorrow? You want to be someone that you can be proud of when you look back on it, be like, wow, I really, you know, pushed myself and I achieved things and I learned along the way and learned through mistakes and learned through hard times and all these different things. So I think that was one of the biggest mindset switches, I guess, from like college to, you know, more of a real life aspect. It's, you know, kind of, what do you want to do? How are you going to get there? And I think it's a big thing, like I just said before, was be where your feet are. You know, make the best of every opportunity you have. Be the kindest to every person you meet, even if they are, you know, terrible people. You know, there are people like that, but most people have things going on that we don't know about. And, you know, being great to other people is great and something that you should strive for. And also writing down things that you need to do and want to improve in and want to learn is something that I think is really, really important. Like the beginning of this week, I said I need to make a podcast this weekend. Wrote that down. And here we are. We're making a podcast. Episode 4. We're going. And hopefully, you know, we can grow this fan base little by little. Third and last question for today is more basketball question. If you could add one rule or change one existing rule in the NBA, what would it be? Honestly, we see in Europe the goaltending rule. I don't think I would overturn that. I think I would. I don't think if it's a rule, but I would think I would change the playoff format. I don't think I would do best of 7 each time. I do like baseball does. So they do best of 3, and then they go to best of 5, and then they go to best of 7 for 2 games, I think. I might be wrong. They might do best of 5 for 2 games and then best of 7 in the finals, but I think that some sort of that format would actually help because the first round would be quicker. You know, we might have battles in the first round, but I feel like it makes it more exciting. There's 3 games. You know, you win the first 2, you go on. You're done. And that also would, you know, reduce the amount of injuries and like we saw a bunch of Achilles injuries, and most of those are injuries that come from overworking yourself or overworking the calf. So like calf strains, everyone who had an Achilles tear last year had some sort of calf strain before and tried to play through it. So I think that will help with, you know, injuries, and I think it would be really exciting to see in the NBA. And let me know what you guys think about that. But I just think that would be a really cool rule to add, and then it would just change the landscape. I know it's been best of 7, and a lot of records would kind of switch or change, and we'd see a big, big switch, and it's kind of hard to do that, but I think it would be beneficial for the game of basketball in the long run. So that is the last question of this podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for supporting the pod as much as you do. I know a lot of them, friends and family, are supporting, and hopefully we can grow it to not just friends and family and get some people out there listening, and, you know, maybe get me on some ESPN shows, you know, some analyst stuff. You know, if anybody wants an analyst, let me know. But don't clown on me for that. Don't clown on me. I know I'm going to get that. You're not doing it right if you're not getting hated on. So, yeah, that might be kind of my long-term goal, is to be an NBA analyst at some point. So, you know, any advice or support is welcome, and hope y'all enjoy, and hope y'all tune in for episode 5, which I will hopefully make next weekend. So thank y'all for tuning in, and have a great rest of your guys' week, and hope to see y'all next week.